Thank you.
We are up to Perek Chof, a new sugya, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Chof. We are up to a war, a very scary war, very interesting section in Divrei Hayamim. This war does not appear in Sefer Melachim. It's very interesting why this major topic, major theme is omitted in Sefer Melachim, but it's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. That really opens up a whole chapter in trying to understand the difference between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, what their purpose is. And it's one thing you have these nuances of expression, a difference in the letter, a word, and how an idea is expressed in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Divrei Hayam. But when you have a whole perek, and you have a major war, and major yesoides, the Chazal use the source material to teach Divrei Halacha, Divrei Musar, that already is a whole different league in trying to understand the difference of the approach of what the goal of Sefer Divrei Hayamim is versus Sefer Melachim, which maybe we'll get to when we first need to go and see what it says. So let's begin. Vayihi achrei chen, was after this. After what? Well, we just learned yesterday, after Yehoshaphat established a judicial system in Eretz Yisrael, both in the Orei Yehudu Binyamin and in the Yerushalayim, a very elaborate, as we discussed yesterday in detail, a very elaborate network of courts. As we mentioned, his innovation was that they would now be, the courts would be controlled by the government, by the Malchus. People would not just hang up shingles on their front door and say, anyone who has a dispute, come to me, I'll take care of it. Trust me, these were people that were supported, that were paid, that this, their parnasa came from the government, they were government employees, and it was a novel idea, and did not exist something like this in all time. And we learned yesterday in Rashi different ideas of why now, why all of a sudden now did Yehoshaphat feel the need to do so. Rashi gave us an idea which obviously requires a lot more understanding. We just read the words because he was praised for removing the Asheros, the trees that were worshipped as idols, and when he searched the Torah to find more details about the prohibition to have an Asherah, he took note that it's juxtaposed to the law of establishing Shevtim v'Shoytrim. Shevtim v'Shoytrim titin l'cha v'chol sherecha. And then the next pasuk goes on to say, you shall abolish losita l'cha Asherah. So he felt, since he got high praise for losita l'cha Asherah, it must be that this was a sin in Hashemayim, that he should also now focus on establishing Shevtim v'Shoytrim b'chol sherecha. We discussed the other idea, another idea where he was severely rebuked by the Navi of loving those who hate Hashem, and he realized that only can come because there is a problem in the moral climate of society which needs to be repaired, and the only way you can repair the society is to establish Mishpat. Okay, so everything has now been established. He sets judges, and Vayihi acharei chen. Now we're not going to discuss it now, but it's not, there are problems exactly when the war we're about to learn about. Perek Chof is a long perek, it's very complicated. It's not clear, there are different opinions as exactly when this war happened. Did it happen immediately after the event of what's mentioned in Perek Yotess of the establishment of a network of judges? Or were there other major events that took place in Klal Yisrael? Specifically, another war, another major war that appears in Sefer Melachim. And here, for whatever reason, we're completely ignoring the other war, which we'll come to at another point in time, Bali Neder, and we're going to the war that we want to focus on now, and still in all the Sefer, Ezra, Nechem, who wrote Sefer Divrei Hayamim, they choose to express, to connect, very, very clearly connect the dots. Vayihi acharei chen, the war that's about to happen, is a direct outgrowth of what just happened in Perek Yotess of the establishment of the network of judges. And we'll discuss what the significance might be. But then, any event, vayihi chen, bohu b'nei Moav, b'nei Amon, v'imohem meho Amonim al Yehoshaphat la'milchama. A world war broke out. Three major nations, Amon, Moav, and this nation called the Amo Ha'amonim. Now, Ha'amonim, we'll see in the Tzulus and Rashi in a few moments, just to give us some background, was either a nation that we are not familiar with today. Maybe you know, someone knows what this nation is. It's similar to Bnei Amon, but it can't be Bnei Amon because it says in the pasuk there's Bnei Moav uVnei Amon. So Amonim would be repetitious to say Amon and Amonim. Furthermore, nowhere in the entire Tanakh do we ever refer to Amon, the nation as Amon, as Amonim. Doesn't exist. If we want to refer to Amon, they are consistently referred to as with the term Bnei Amon. So this expression Amonim is very peculiar. It's very difficult. So there are different interpretations. Either there was a nation, the nation was called Amonim, which we're not familiar with who they are today, or it refers to Amalek. We're referring very specifically to the nation of Amalek, and here they're called Amonim because they disguise themselves as people from Bnei Amon. They disguise themselves, and therefore they were given like somewhere in the middle. They're not really Amon, they're not called Bnei Amon, but they look like Amon, but in disguise they were wearing the uniforms of Bnei Amon. Al Yashav al-Muhammad, they came to war. Now why do they come to war? It's not clear. It doesn't say anywhere why they came to war. Maybe they just there are details that are missing. It's not presented. Okay, but let's see what happens. Vayavo, Vaygidul Yashav al-Lemar, they come. I guess these are his assistants. They come to Yashav, they tell him, they relate to Lemar, Bo Elecha Hamon Rav Me'evil Ayam Me'aram, from the nation of Aram, from that region. Aram was a region, a nation which had many different parts, which includes, similarly includes, in Aram we're including Amon Moav and the Amonim. Vihinam bechatzitzon Tamar, they are in this region called Chatzitzon Tamar. We have to look at the map. He Ein Gedi, this is the place called Ein Gedi, which is right near Amalek. That's why we know, another reason that we know that Amonim refers to Amalek, because Amalek was located right opposite this place called Ein Gedi. We'll see the Rashi soon. Vayira, Yehoshaphat was terrified. Vayiten Yehoshaphat espanav lidrash l'Hashem, so he was a tzaddik, he knew what to do. First thing was not to increase the army and to acquire weapons and to send bribes to Egypt and to Ashur and to all the other nations to come to his assistance. The first thing that he did was he set his face lidrash l'Hashem. That's why he's called a tzaddik. Throughout the whole sefer, throughout the Devarim, he's always given high praise to seek Hashem. Vayikra tzom, and he declared a fast day. I'll call Yehuda over the entire region of Yehuda. Pasuk Dalid. Vayikavsu Yehuda levakesh mehashem. They all listen. They all gather together to seek out Hashem. Gam mikol ori Yehuda bohu levakesh Hashem. Not only the people living in Yerushalayim, but all of the cities, all of the suburbs, the entire Shevet Yehuda, wherever they were found, got message that there's going to be Yom Tzom, and they all came to Yerushalayim. Vayamod Yehoshaphat b'kahal Yehuda b'Yerushalayim b'beis Hashem lifnei ha'chatzar ha'chadasha. He stood up in the assembly of Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash before the chatzar ha'chadasha. So I guess in today's day you'll say they put up a tent, right? They put up a tent, could hold 50,000 people. Right, that's what it means. That's really what it means, right? He's laughing because he knows the news. Right, there was supposed to be a delegation that was supposed to come from Eretz Yisrael. Delegation, it was canceled. So where were they going to come? So they already set up a tent. Well, there is a tent that can hold 50,000 people called the Chatzar HaChadasha to accommodate all of the people. Okay, we'll come to Chazal, say about this in a moment. Vayomer Hashem, and he gave the following speech, a very long, eloquent speech. Vayomer, and he said, Vayomer Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our forefathers, Haloi Atahu Elokim Bashmaim V'Atah Moshel, you are the God in heaven, and you rule B'chol Mamluchos Hagoyim, you have authority over all the nations of the world, U'v'yotcha, and in your hand is Koyach U'Gvura. Sounds like from the Charosim Moharbris, it's not exactly the same. This is a different pasuk, but it's the same theme. Uviyad Chakoh Gvur, there is power and strength. The ain imcha lehisyat save, and there is no nation that can stand before you unless you permit them to do so. No one can fight against you. You are the ultimate authority. Haloi ato Elokeinu, you are our God. Is it not true that you are our God? Hayrashta es yosh haaretz hazos mufnei amcha Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, you have driven out the inhabitants of this land before your nation, Amcha Yisrael, titino lezera Avram oyhavcho le'olam. You gave it as a gift to your children, to the descendants of Avraham, the one that you love forever. In other words, we'll see in Rashi in a moment that maybe these nations, Ammon, Moab, Amalek, are coming to drive us out of the land. They're coming to destroy us and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Hashem, you can't allow that to happen. You took us out of Egypt and you gave us this land. You drove out the nations of Canaan from this land to give to us, the Klal Yisrael. How can you then allow these nations, Ammon, Moab, and Amalek, to wipe us out? And maybe you'll suggest, maybe someone will argue that it was only given to us temporarily. Hashem gave it to us for 500 years. So we're already here in Eretz Yisrael, and now we're talking 500 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's four more, maybe 550 years. The time of Yoshua is about 500, 600 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. So maybe you'll argue, so we had our chance, our term is up, nothing lasts forever, and therefore it's time for us to go. We'll have to go to some other country, we'll have to be refugees in other nations. No, Hashem, that cannot be, because you promised the land to Avraham, our forefather, forever. La'olam. And therefore, how can you allow this to happen within these three nations that are going to conquer and drive us out? Vayeshuva. And what happened? What happened when we possessed this land? We dwelt in it. Vayivnu l'cha beis hamikdash l'shimcha leimar. And we built for you a beis hamikdash for your names, leimar, saying as follows: Im tavo aleinu ra'ah. What did we declare when we built the beis hamikdash? What did Shlomo HaMelech say at the inaugural, at the installation of the beis hamikdash? Im tavo aleinu ra'ah. If a sword will come upon us, or evil will come upon us, a sword, shafot. Shafot means, it's a borrowed expression of judgment, meaning an evil decree, the dever, or a plague, the ra'av, or famine, na'amda, what we will do, we will stand. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to stand lifnei habayis hazel ulfonecha, ki shimcha babayis hazel, your name is established upon this bayis, v'nizak elecha mitzor rasenu, and we'll cry out to you from our trouble, the sishma, and you will hear this Oshia, and you will save. V'yata, now we are in a lot of trouble, Hashem. We need your help. Hine v'nei Amon u'moav v'har Seir. These three nations, Amon, Moav, and Seir. Now, where did Seir come in from? Seir is new to the picture. That's another ride that when it says the Amonim, we're referring to Amalek. Because Amalek, what is Seir? Ul'esav nosati is har Seir. Amalek is a descendant, is part of Esav. They are a group of Esav. So that's another indication that when it says here, V'imohem meho amonim, back in Pasuk Aleph, we are referring to Amalek, because here when we repeat the three nations, when we read about the speech of Yehoshaphat, it refers specifically to Seir, and that has to parallel to what he said above. It must then mean that the Amonim refers to Amalek, who are members of the nation of Seir.
Does Amalek have a territory? Because we always hear about them coming to attack.
Seir, they're part of Seir. Where? They're part of Seir, Har Seir.
Well, yes, right. As you said, they're
yeah. I don't know the details. I must be Germania, right? So
Av Yaakov Emden said to have a specific territory.
Av Yaakov Emden says that Germany was Amalek. Germany, that's that region, the Rhineland. What?
In the spiritual sense, we know that to be true.
Right. Okay. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm sure there must be discussed. There must be historians that can that go through the geography. Maybe look in the Atlas, the Das Maker Atlas. Excellent. Sefer. Maybe it has.
It's called Germany because there's a lot of thought. Because what the Mefarshim, like there's a Marsha in the back of Gittin. I think it's in the around the Kamsa by Kamsa story. He mentions about not traveling in the area of Germania, calls it.
So there was such an area.
They said Germany, but they say that there was no Germany.
It's not Muchach, right?
So it was Germanic tribes. Uh-huh. They said they're very cruel. You shouldn't travel through that area. Okay. So, but it wasn't. They allowed him to Mefarshim deal with that and say there was no Germany when he wrote that. So was,
what does it mean exactly?
Wherever they were
settled, yeah, later on.
Parts of
but the phrase Germania shall Edom is
that's the lashon that the Marsha uses. That says Germania shall Edom.
Okay, let's see. Asher lo nesat lishol lovoy sovata. Now hinei avri amud amoy v'har siyev. Asher lo nesat lishol lovoy lovoy v'hem. These three nations. Asher lo. Now here is a very powerful pasuk. You don't even look in the Mefarshim. Just the pasuk. The pasuk itself is powerful. Asher lo nesat lishol lovoy v'hem b'vo'am eretz Mitzrayim. Ki saru me aleihem v'lo hishmidim. We did them a very big favor. He's saying a tremendous and very powerful chiddush. When we came to Eretz Yisrael, we passed through, we went through the Midbar. V'lo'nocham elokim derech Eretz Polishim ki karofu, right? That's the beginning of Parashat Beshalach. Hashem did not allow us to directly enter into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem took us in a roundabout way. Our roundabout way caused us to pass alongside the nation of Ammon, the nation of Moab, and the nation of Seir. Go look on the maps. A lot of they have now even the new chumashim. In fact, the art school published an amazing sefer. They just put out two volumes. It's I don't know if it's for children on chumash. A Hebrew only chumash, a standalone volume on chumash Bereishis, and a standalone volume on chumash Shemos. The letters are massive. The letters are very, very big. It's very large Rashi unkelis. And in the back,
old people.
What?
Not for kids, for old people.
And in the back, they have these incredible charts and pictures and maps. They have some new things that they never published before, and it's very cheap. It only costs $10. Each volume is only $10. It's really someone subsidizing these chumashim, and they have there some. If you want, just pick up, look at it. If you pass by a bookstore, and to look at some of the maps, and you really get a lot more appreciation of the stories in the Torah by looking at the charts and the maps that they present in the back. Interesting, though, they have that beautiful sefer on the Mishkan, the coffee table book. Mm-hmm. So that probably costs like $50, $75.
Oh, yeah.
The whole sefer is in the back. In a couple of pages, they basically took all the pictures. They just put it in a little bit smaller, without all of the elaboration and the Rashi and the commentator. But what you would normally buy that $75 sefer for, you get for free in the back of that $10 volume. But there, you look at the picture there. I was looking at the picture. They have their beautiful picture over there of how the path. Hashem took them in a roundabout way which passed along the side of Edom, Moab, and Har Seir. And here Yehoshaphat says something which is not obvious from reading Chumash. We really should have wiped them out. Hashem gave us permission. Hashem, by taking us out of Mitzrayim, it was our right to wipe out these nations on the way. Ammon, Moab, and Seir, and the only reason why we didn't destroy them was because Hashem said, Hashem said, don't bother. I don't want you to bother them. I don't want you to start up with them. But we really should have. There are reasons we have reason to take revenge for things they've done to us in the past, without going into detail, whatever that may be. And Hashem said, at this moment in time, I don't want you to wage war with them. So they owe us. They owe us because it was within our right, for whatever reason, to destroy them, and we let them go. And now, look what's happening. It's 500 years later, and look what this nation is doing. The Mishalem Roha Tachas Tova. They're paying us back with evil for the good that we've done to them. It's an amazing idea. You would think, 500 years is 500 years. Whatever it was. Who says you can go and you can say there's a din of a reward and punishment to what happened to your great-great-great-great-grandparents? Yet you see this theme in the Torah as well, all the time, is that a requirement of Hakaras HaTov doesn't just exist one day, one generation. It spans multiple generations. And it's a shocking pasuk yud. V'ata hinei v'nei amun moav ahar seir, these three nations, asher lo nosato liyisro lo vovohem, Hashem did not give Klal Yisrael permission to come upon them and destroy them, b'voyom eretz Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, kisoru me'aleihem, because Hashem told us, leave them alone. Go easy on them. turn aside from them, v'lo hishmidum, and don't destroy them. So we're good to them, we're good to you, and look how you repay us. V'hine heim goimlim aleinu lavo l'garshenu. Look what they're doing, look how they are paying us back for our kindness. They are coming upon us, l'garshenu, to drive us out, mi'yerushascha, from the inheritance, asher hirashtanu, which you have bequeathed to us. Elokeinu haloi tishpat bam. Therefore, Yahushua begs Hashem in the presence of the entire Klal Yisrael, our God, haloi tishpat bam. May you judge them for this evil plan of theirs. Ki ein banu koyach. And here he says something which is unique to fighting wars. All the wars until now of David and Shlomo and Rechavam, there was a certain gaiva, if you want to say, how we'll go out and we'll fight. David said, "I'll go fight without any armor. I'll just go out against Goliath. He's a giant, wearing armor. I'll go out with a slingshot, and I'll fight him." Here Yehoshaphat says, "We don't have koyach to fight. Hashem, we're going to stand and you'll fight for us. We're just going to sit home in our house." Chazal talk about this. And we'll do nothing. Even in the time of the Torah, it didn't exist such a thing. When you fight, you go out and you fight. You put on your gear, you go out in your tanks and your weapons, your sword and spear, and you fight. Yehoshaphat says, "Niskatnu hadoyos." We're on a very weak, low level. We can't fight anymore. Hashem, you're just going to have to do it for us. We're going to sit home and do nothing. And that's really what happened. We're going to see. It's shocking what happened in this war. V'hine alokeinu haloi tishpoit bam, judge them, ki ein banu koyach lefnei hehomoin horov hazeh. We have no strength before the multitude of this great nation. Habo leinu. Now this is what we say every day in davening after in Tachnun. Va'anachnu lo neida manaseh. Unbelievable pasuk. This is the first time in history, I believe, the first time you have such a thing in all the Jewish wars where a king basically says to Hashem, "We're not going to fight. You're going to fight, Hashem. We're going to do nothing. We do not know what to do. Lo neida manaseh ki olecha einenu. Our eyes are set on you to do the job for us." Unbelievable. Okay, now before we go further, let's read some. One more pasuk. And who was there? There's another amazing pasuk. The entire Yehuda was omdim lufnei Hashem. Gam tapam nishehem uvenehem. Every single person was present at this speech, even infants, the taf, and the women and children. Everyone came to this gathering. No one stayed home to hear the speech. Obviously, the taf didn't understand what was going on, but the gathering, this asefa, this coming together of all these people, obviously made an impression upon them that would carry stay with them for the rest of their lives. Okay, there's a lot here going on. Let's go through some things slowly.
But you weren't supposed to totally rely on Hashem. You're supposed to
ask. You're right. You're not supposed. Yeah, shtalos. Of course, you have to shtalos. That's what's so disturbing about this whole story is that it goes against everything that happened until now, and everything pretty much the Chazal says, "Ein semich mal hanes." You have to do your hishtadlus. So where is the balance?
Well, if Hashem helped you, Hashem helped you, but you're supposed to try.
You're supposed to try hishtadlus, absolutely. So how do we understand what's going on here? It's very difficult, absolutely. This is a very difficult chapter in Tanakh.
In your introduction, you mentioned that this war, there's no mention of this anywhere. Else.
Not in Malachim.
Is it mentioned anywhere else?
No. It's the only place it would be in Malachim.
Do any of the Mefarshim in the introduction to this parrot make mention, "Hey, I never heard of it"?
Yes, they do. They all focus. What's going on here? Why is...
Say anything.
Why is this Rashi? No, let's see. Let's see Rashi. Rashi going to... Well, we're not really finished.
There's no mention of this.
Okay, believe me, that we'll try to figure out something. What?
It's a parable to show Gemalchus Yehuda how strong they were with their emuna. It's sort of made up of
possibly. It's especially true in the time when the main reason why Sefer Divrei Hayamim was written was to give motivation to the people in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. At the time of the Bayis Sheni, there were a few people, a very small group of people who returned to Eretz Yisrael. I think only 5% of the Jewish population returned from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to be part of the new Yishuv. Most people almost gave up. They felt the churban bayis sheni, the churban bayis shouldn't happen. It's nothing. It's just a matter of time until Klal Yisrael disappears. No one really believed it's possible for Klal Yisrael to come back. There should be some resurrection. There should be a new Beis Hamikdash, and we should be Mashiach. It was a very difficult period. Ezra and Nehemiah from the last Nevi'im put together Sefer Divrei Hayamim. They rewrote history by focusing on very select events and stories to give chizuk, motivation, to the people in Golos, in Bavel. Don't give up. It's not over. Look at history. So if they would be instructed to study Sefer Melachim and Sefer Shmuel, they would say, yeah, all of those glorious things that happened in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Shmuel, is exactly the point. That's exactly what's making us even more depressed, that it's never going to happen again. Yeah, so he says, that's right, don't look at Sefer Melachim and Sefer Shmuel. Focus on these specific things. And he wrote a new book to motivate. It was a motivational book to get people to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he even included things that did not appear in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Shmuel, but took things that were found in other chronicles that were not Kodesh, the Apocrypha, different things that were Sefer Chitzoinim, stories. He took those stories, he rewrote them with Ruach HaKodesh, included in Divrei Hayam, to motivate Klal Yisrael. And as you said, Mr. Glatter, this is a perfect example of incredible emuna. Vanachnu lo neda ma naseh. We don't know what to do. This is the lesson that we only thing that we can use in Golos. In Golos, we are a sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. And the story of Klal Yisrael the last 2,000 years is nothing more than miraculous. And to a very large degree, even though you have to have a shtadlus, and we do have a shtadlus, there is a shtadlus, but when everything is said and done, it's nothing more than really what's happening here in the story of Yehoshaphat. We're surrounded by Amon, Moab, and Seir, the Amalek, they're trying to wipe us out, and we really have, there's no solution, of course, so we'll do the best that we can do. Even he did what he can do. We're going to see even the Yehoshaphat did what he can do. He did Ishtadlus. He did gather, he did rally the troops, they did go out to the battlefield. They did go. But he says here, basically, we're dealing with an impossible situation. Now let's see the Mitzvahs and the Rashis, and then we'll discuss a few Midrashim. Rashi Pasik Aleph. The first issue is who in the world are these people? They are the Meho Amoinim. So first the Mitzudah says Shem Uma, a name of a nation, Shemikres al Shem Mikoima in its place. The Chenemar Vayitnu Ho Amoinim Mincha Luziyahu. So this is a nation of Ulai Hu Hipuch Min Hamoinim. So he says that the letters are really interchanged. The Ayin and the Mem are exchanged. Really, there was a nation called Meunim. Okay, that appears to be a more well-known nation. And for some reason, the letters are exchanged to appear Amonim. Shazoch Hashem v'medrash. That's answer number one. Answer number two. V'medrash Amar Sheheim Amolekim. V'heim b'nei Seir, as we mentioned later on in the Perek, Hamu l'mata v'karim Amonim, ki hisnakru, they disguise themselves. V'lov shu bigdei Amonim shlo yakirum b'nei Yisrael ki kol Why did they have to disguise themselves? Because at this point in time, Seir was under the authority of Yehuda. Yehuda, it's hard for us to imagine, but at this point in time, people in Seir were paying taxes to Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshaphat, until the time of Yehoshaphat, from the time of David, Shlomo, Rechavam, Asa, and now Yehoshaphat, and Yehoiada was one of the king in the middle. They were paying taxes. They were tribute to Klal Yisrael. So Seir was under the jurisdiction, the authority of Klal Yisrael. So if Amalek would want to go and openly rebel, it wouldn't go off well. They would be destroyed. There would immediately have been a war. I don't know the exact details, but it wasn't possible for them to openly rebel against Klal Yisrael. That's why they had to disguise themselves, send some of their best soldiers into the ranks of Amon and Moab to assist them without Klal Yisrael knowing that Amalek and Seir is rebelling. They don't want to make it open public news. They're rebelling against Klal Yisrael.
Also earlier, when they first came in the Midbar, they also
addressed.
But that was the Givonim. That was Kananim. Those are people from Canaan. There are Molech, there's another Maisa, another Amalekim there as well. They want to be destroyed. Right? Okay, so there are other similar stories where different nations disguise Amalek as well. But here they were playing this tactic because they did not want to rebel them, because it says this Medrash, that's why they had to disguise themselves at this point in time. Next, so now we come to Pasuk Beis, Me'ever LaYam, Hu Yam HaMelech. They're coming on the other side of Yam HaMelech, so I guess that's the east. They're coming from the east. Ammon and Moab are all the way to the east, past Jordan. Past Jordan, even further than Jordan, is where you have Ammon and Moab and Seir. Me'aram, b'derech mahalcham bohu me'ever Aram. They traveled from the other side of. So Aram does not mean that the nation of Aram. Aram is a very large place. There's many different regions and different nations within Aram. It means they passed Ammon and Moab to come in order for Ammon and Moab and Seir to attack Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. They have to pass from their homeland through the nation of Aram. Next, Hinam, where are they now? Period. Espanov. So what happens when Yashem receives this report? He's very disturbed, and right away he's mispalel. Ratzolaymar, Sam bitchoinai lidresh Hashem. He immediately has faith in HaKadosh Baruch, and he prayed to Hashem. Da'alud, Vayikav su Yehuda, Meyosha Yehud, Yushalayim, Hechotze Hadasha, and they all came to Yushalayim to a new courtyard, a tent. They put up a tent to accommodate all of these people that came to the Yom Tzom, to the day of prayer, fasting. Ulai tiknu also the chitshu habinyin, it was a new structure in honor of this event. We'll see Chazal in a moment. Ve'edimcha, and now he begins to pray. Beautiful, eloquent prayer goes on for all these psukim we've read. He prays to Hashem and he says, there's ein mi l'syatzev lama l'muloch. No one can stand against you, no one can rebel, can survive rebelling against you, Hashem. Hoy Rashta, he now goes through Jewish history. Hashem, you took us out of Egypt, and you drove out the Canaanim from this land. We are the legitimate, it's perfect for this parasha. HaChodesh Zeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, the first Rashi in Chumash, that Hashem gave us this land. We need no other excuse for Eretz Yisrael other than that Hashem gave us this land. You drove out the Canaanim, Gerashta Osam, Batitno, Le'olam, forever, Ko'imer, V'hinei. B'derech HaNosim HaTonu Le'olam, La'azul L'makaba, L'Hishra B'yodo. According to the Mesudas, why does Yahushua say word Le'olam? It's only normal that when you give someone a gift, it comes with a guarantee. Right? It comes with a guarantee. If I give you a gift or I sell you something, if someone that comes to repossess it from you, I'm there. I'm the one that's giving it to you. I guarantee no one's going to take it away. No one's going to steal it from you. There is a achrayus. And what did we say when we built the Beis HaMikdash? That the purpose of this Beis HaMikdash is to be a place to daven to you, Hashem, to save us from our tzoros. Shefot, Mishpat, Peronius, in case Chas V'Shalom comes upon us, Peronius. If Chas V'Shalom we have trouble, we'll come here. We can be certain that you will save us, because that's what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. It's a place that, upon which your Shechina rests, and we can come and daven. Now he describes that we have been good to them. We are very kind to these three nations. We really should have destroyed them, but we didn't. So it seems that when out of Mitzrayim, they went to war against us. They started up with us. When we left Egypt, Ammon, Moab, Seir wanted to wage war against us. They made trouble for us. And we had the power and the right to fight back and destroy them. We had Rachmanis on them. And look what they're doing to us. 500 years later, the Meshalim Ra Tachas Tova, look what they're doing. Manase, and then he goes on to say, we don't know what to do, we're outnumbered. Manase linatzel miyadam, ki elecha einenu, el einenu, elecha lehatzilenu miyadam. We are looking to you for guidance, Hashem, we're looking for your help. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel, they all stood in the Beis HaMishkan. Now let's see some of the Rashis. Rashi pasuk alimah mehamoinim. So mehamoinim. So Rashi right away jumps to the medrash. No apologies. We're not discussing a nation. Zamolik. V'lomniku amoinim l'fisha shina kisuso. They changed their clothing. Ulushana the language. Kamoinim like amoinim. V'nisarvu bohem uboli lochem yisrael v'chein mochich lamata b'inyin uve'es heicholah barina. How do I know this? Look later on. Now what we quoted, the pasuk we quoted, but we go even further on. At the end of the parak where it says when the war began, it's a very strange war. How did they fight? They fought by singing Shira. Instead of going out to war with tanks and missiles, they went out to war, they went to the battlefield, and they began to sing. And when they began to sing, Hashem presented, Hashem brought ambushers. There was some attack. We'll discuss who led the attacks. Someone mysterious came to our rescue. Another nation out of nowhere appears and fought our battle. That's one interpretation. I'll just tell you the whole story now outside. The other interpretation is, which really is, the Ralbach really says it really well, is Ammon, and this is true today, it's never been more true than this today, Ammon, Moab, and Seir hate each other. They're at each other's throats. These three nations have incredible sinna for one another. And they always were fighting with one another. However, my enemy's enemy is my friend. However, what do all three have in common? Ammon, Moab, and Seir, they all hate the Jews. So, for this, they were willing to unite. For this, they all put aside their old complaints against one another. They all united in one army to fight against the Jews. But truly, deep down inside, these nations hated one another. So here they were at the battlefield. The battle was about to begin. Three nations, all up against Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, there was some type of quarrel between Ammon and Moab on one side and Seir. I guess maybe they were arguing who's going to take the lead. Who's going to have, who's in charge? Who calls the shots? So Ammon and Moab got into an argument with Seir, and things got worse and worse, until a war broke out on the battlefield between the nation of Seir and the two nations of Ammon and Moab. And Ammon and Moab, in the process, obliterated Seir. So Seir was wiped off the map, right then and there on the battlefield. And then Ammon and Moab, we got rid of Seir, so now we're going to go, now we're going to continue where we left off, and we're going to wipe out Klal Yisrael. So they got into a fight among each other. Ammon and Moab began quarreling among each other, and they started to fight, and before you turned around, they killed out each other. Ammon and Moab were wiped out. Klal Yisrael comes to the battlefield, and what do they find on the battlefield? Everyone is dead. Seir is dead because Ammon and Moab went to war against Seir. Ammon and Moab are dead because after they finished off Seir, they went to war against each other. And Klal Yisrael spent 4 days collecting all the booty from the field, from the war. That was how the war. That's how Rashi alludes to. Rashi says this, and the Ralbag, the Mitzvahs, does not say this. Other Mefashi learn the pasuk, but the pasuk doesn't say this anywhere. In the pasuk, there's no mention of this. It would appear from the pasuk that there was a war; they were ready to fight, and some friend of Klal Yisrael found out from the other side of the world. Another nation found out. Hey, this is not nice. What's going on? If Ammon and Moab and Edom, they're coming to fight the Jewish people. We have investments in Israel. China says, they're good customers of ours. They give us more business than Ammon and Moab and Seir combined. If we let these three nations wipe out Klal Yisrael, then the economy is going to collapse. So China, for their own self-interest, came and took care of the problem for us. They wiped out. They sent some missiles from their spy satellites and wiped out Ammon, Moab, and Seir. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. The Me'orvim, which refers to people lying in ambush, came to attack, was a foreign nation who came to attack for their own reasons, and it just happened to be a great benefit to Klal Yisrael. The Midrashim, which includes the approach of the Ralbag and Rashi, say it was more complicated than that. It wasn't any long-lost friend or relative of Klal Yisrael that came to their to save them, it was there was infighting among the enemies themselves, which did themselves in. Unfortunately, we have the problem the other way around, where there's so much fighting among us that we can get our act together to put up a front against our enemies. Is what to learn from the other side, how they were defeated. If only we can come together, and at least temporarily, for a few minutes, to find the solution against our enemies. But this is the approach. Rashi really alludes to us here in this Rashi. Let's see over here the Rashi one more time. Rashi in the middle of the Rashi. Hashem sent Ma'arvim, people to lie in ambush to attack the enemy. Al b'nei Amon u'Moav. The Har Seir. So later in the parak, it's clear that there are three nations, and the third is Seir. That begs the question, what's who the Amoinim? Amoinim must really be B'nai Seir in disguise. They changed their language and their clothing. Now we can understand what it says in the piyut of the Parsha Zohar, not so far ahead. Zohar Aritz Bo Amoinim. Remember the tyrant. Aritz is a tyrant. The tyrant Bo Amoinim, who hid himself among the nation of Ammon, Nechba, Peretz, Carmi, and Gedi, he lied. Nechba, he was lying in his hiding at the breach in the vineyards of Ein Gedi. So what in the world does this period mean? So the Rashi explains. Kehuva means Kehuva, when they came. When who came? When Klal Yisrael came to the war. Now he explains, Kulaymar, Zuchor, Hashem remember, Masha Osa Amolek, Ho'aritz, the tyrant refers to the nation of Amolek, Shenechba, who hid himself, Bein Ho'amoinim, among the nation of Ammon, Ubal Lifrotz Karmei Yisrael, and he came to breach the vineyards. The Karmi Ein Gedi refers to the vineyards of Klal Yisrael that were located near Ein Gedi. Karmi Yisrael Be'osozman at that time, Kedirsiv, like it says, V'hinom, they are Bechatzon Tamar, he Ein Gedi, Ve'Ein Gedi Samach L'muchos Shel Amalek. Ein Gedi is near the region of, it's the region of Amalek. K'mo Shnemar B'lech L'chum Ashtar L'chum V'Ekwes Kol Tzei Amalek, Yivigames Hamori, Hayoshev Bechatzon Tamar. So we see from this pasuk that Amalek is in the region of Ein Gedi. That's another clue that the Amoinim are the Amalekim, meaning that the battle took place in Chatzah and Tamar. It must then be that we are dealing with a nation that is located in that region, namely the nation of Amalek. Ein Gedi klemar sh'amro lo kvar bo kol kach bikarv lanu. Here when they told Yehoshaphat, they said Yehoshaphat, we're in a lot of trouble. The enemy is very close. It's not just a report. They're on the other side of the world. They're coming. It'll take them months to get here. They are already at our doorstep. They're already here at Ein Gedi. Therefore, they were afraid. So what did he do, Yehoshaphat? He called the Yom Tzom. Gam mikol ori Yehuda shelo toimar kisha omar betchila vayikamsu Yehuda levakesh es elu yosha yushalam levad heim elu mikol ori Yehuda bohu. It's not like in the previous battle. The previous battle, the only ones that came together in other battles were the only people in Yehuda. Here, everyone, all of the suburbs, everyone came together to Yerushalayim, to the Chutz HaChadasha, to be present when Yehoshaphat would address the nation. V'yata, he gave a speech. In the speech, he says, V'yata Yosha Moshel b'chol mamuchos agoyim b'v'yot kachavura l'inoig memshantcha aleyem l'chein onu v'akshim b'mucho le'ezrunu mehem. You have the power, and that's why we're asking for your help, Hashem. Period. You gave the land to the seed of Avraham. Therefore, it's your duty, Hashem, to make sure Eretz Yisrael remains in the possession of his descendants. To wipe out these nations, when any person gives a king, even when a melech basa v'dam, or even a person that's not a melech gives a matana, Le'oyhavo ubo achar legoslo, and someone comes to steal it, heimenu, doichik ba'atzma lachaziko biyodo. It's only human nature that a person does his utmost to retain his property. Kol shekeinato. Certainly you, Hashem, you are the ultimate authority. Certainly you have the power that when you gave us a gift, it's your duty to make sure that we keep our gift. V'shema toimar, maybe you'll say, loy nisati lechem el lufisha. I only gave you Eretz Yisrael temporarily. I gave it to you for 600 years, and now it's time for the Jewish people to leave. No. It is forever. This was a summary of the speech that Shlomo HaMelech made at the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash is a Mokum Tefillah. If there will ever be a problem, we'll come here, we'll daven, and you, Hashem, will listen to the prayers, and you'll save us. Vayetelo Hashem, kitosiv Hashem, listen to him, vayera Hashem el Shlomo, vayomelo, shamati Hashem appeared to Shlomo, and Hashem said to Shlomo, I've listened, eschatilo secho, v'chol ha'parish ad, v'eslach lecha tosom, if you'll only daven to me at this place, I'll forgive you for your sins. The erpo es artsam, I'll heal your land. The ato, and now ani mispal shetisko so haftocha, your shofar is drawing upon the promise of Shlomo HaMelech. It's an amazing insight. Shofar, all these years later, 500 years later, I'm sorry, he's only like 100 years later, is drawing upon the promise that Hashem gave to Shlomo, that if you'll come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you'll daven, I will listen, and I will save you. Shevtachtoi v'sishma v'soshienu me'ayvenu haboim olenu. V'ata im kolzos shevtachtonu v'yoshienu me'ayvenu haboim olenu. Hine v'ne'amenu mo'yu v'harseir asher lo nasata l'yishol lovo yuhem l'ilochim. Look, the Mishalim wrote hachas toiva. They had an obligation to remember the kindness, for love of Israel to help us. Now do they now remember the kindness that we've done to them, that we let them live, even though they were deserving of death. They have come now to bring harm upon us, they're coming to attack us. What right do they have to complain against our inheritance? Ki olech anin liyoshenu, if we don't know what to do, we're relying upon you, who is here at this gathering, pasuk gimel, even the children, ki minog shehagidudim boim al ha'aretz, baruchim min ha'kafadim l'arim b'vitzareyem, tapam nishehem uvnehem. There was so much fear. Klal Yisrael was so terrified that everyone left. Everyone came to the Beis HaMikdash with their children. They thought, who knows what's going to be tomorrow. We'll come under attack and there might be nothing left. Okay, so this is the basic story with the basic Mefarshim, Rashi, and the Metzilas. Now let's discuss some of the Mefarshim. Why doesn't say here, Pasuk Chaf begin, Vahi Acharei Chayin? So this one idea came to mind. Who is the primary antagonist in this story? Amon u'Moav. Who is the father of Amon u'Moav? Lot. Lot is the father. Lot had two daughters, and the two daughters produced two nations, Ammon and Moab. What was Lot's greatest accomplishment in this world?
Mashiach.
What? Well, that's later. That's going to come later on. But let's talk about it on a very mundane level. When the Malachim come to save Lot, what was Lot? Lot was a shofet. It says, what does the pasuk say? He was Yoshe b'shar ha'ir, and when they complain, this person comes, what's the pasuk? Abba, you're here, you're already telling us, you don't want to give us these men. Okay, the pasuk there, the people, when they complain to him, they say, look at this, you're the judge, and look what you're doing over here, you're already corrupt. You're corrupt, and then you're protecting your innocent victims. Lot stood on principle. Lot became the shofet of stone. And Lot had principles. Who came from Lot? Ammon and Moab. So we can be certain that in the world, in the big picture of the world, which nation took pride in a system of justice? Well, if we study the Torah, we have a right to assume it was a nation of Ammon and Moab. because Ammon and Moab were descendants of Lot, and Lot's major accomplishment in this world before the event of going and hiding in the cave was he became the supreme justice of the world. He was the Shofet. He was the Shofet. What happened in the last parak, Vayihi Achrei Chein? What's the parak Yotes all about? Yoshafat establishes the most complex network of Mishpat the world has ever seen. Especially for Klal Yisrael. Shoftim, Shoftim, we had Moshe as the Shoftim, and we had Shmuel, had a circuit judge, but Yoshafat outdid them all. Yoshafat established a very complex network. We always have a principle in history, Zeh Luma Zeh Bor Elokim. Hashem gave us Moshe Rabbeinu, so what did Hashem have to do for the world? Hashem had to give them a Bilam. Because it's not fair, they'll say to Hashem, you know why the Jewish people, they, when Mashiach will come, you know why they served you, Hashem? Because you gave them a Moshe Rabbeinu, you gave them a prophet, you gave them the Av HaNevi'im. We never had a prophet. We never had a prophet to tell us what to do. So Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a match. There's always going to be, there has to be a balance. Bechir chafshus. There'll be a Moshe for Klal Yisrael, so the Umos Olam will have a prophet that is equal to Moshe. Chazal say, it's a shocking thing, but that's what Chazal say. Bilam was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a gift. He didn't earn it. He was a very, very despicable person. But Hashem had no choice because there has to be a balance of power. Okay, I don't know all the examples, but throughout history, there are probably hundreds, thousands of examples where there's always a balance. There's always a person that has to choose. It's not fear if there's too much Kiddusha in the world or if there's too much Tumah in the world. When we find that Klal Yisrael is riding high, and we have Gedolei, very holy, great people out there, which we're drawn to, you'll always notice that in the world, in the secular world, there are people, there are individuals who are non-believers, who are equally influential and powerful, and the whole world is lohut, they're following. And when Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael's stature diminishes, so Zelu Mazen, the secular world, is also Yerida in their power. Like we have Shadim. When Nevuah came to an end, we know that there used to be Kochas HaToma. Turn powers of today, no one had ever heard of a ghost. There's no such thing today. We don't hear that there are ghosts, and there's Ruach HaTumah, and there's magic. You don't hear about these things today. Why? Because just like in Kedusha, we don't have today prophets, and there's no Baskol, and there's no Ruach HaKodesh. So Zelu Mazeh, among the Goyim, they don't have the Kochas HaTumah of Kishuf and magic, and all of these sorcerers, and all of these crazy things, besides Harry Potter and all that stuff.
Yesterday's Times, an article about the African church.
Yeah.
They still do
their stuff. Does it work, or it's just minig avasei nevi odeinu? Is it minig avasei? So you'll say you go to a mekubal, the mekubal also zelu mazeh. There are a few mekubalim that work. So there's a little zelu mazeh. You'll go find Africa. You'll find one church that does some voodoo. Maybe there's something to it. They have some kochas HaTumah, because maybe halavai there should be some kochas of kedusha. That's still real kochas of kedusha. If there's real kochas of Tumah, it's a good sign, because that means there must be somewhere in the world real koichos of kedusha. That's what it must mean, because there always has to be a balance.
Anyone
want
to buy a
kameya? A mayor. Okay, so we have this. So here, l'chora, that's the significance. The one that now is extremely jealous. Who? Why all of a sudden is Ammon and Moab coming to attack Klal Yisrael? It's the jealousy. What's why they're jealous? Because Ammon and Moab, they are the specialists in Mishpat. They have a system of Mishpat, because they come from Lot. And Lot was the Shofet. Lot achieved this midah of being a Shofet in the world, in stone. That the whole parsha dedicated to this. Now, Yoshafat, the world is watching, prime time. Look at Klash, look at what Mishpat is all about. They're jealous. They're looking for excuses to conquer, to knock out Klal Yisrael. They hire some mercenaries. Amon and Moab, they're not good at war. Who are the real people that are good at war, the real mercenaries? Amalek. Amalek Har Seir. They bring them in their ranks, they put on some uniforms, and now we're going to attack Klal Yisrael. That's what's really going on behind the scenes. The jealousy of Zelu Mazel Bar Elokim. Okay, that's one very important yisoid. Another yisoid. We have here, Yehoshaphat declares a Yom Tzom. Now this is unique. We don't have this. We don't have until now. Today we take this for granted. Every time there's a problem, all of a sudden a tinyness. We don't, in the time of David, when there were battles by the Pelishtim, do we ever find the Nevi'im saying, okay, everyone, we're going to fast? You have to study. I have to study different stories, go to Yeshua.
If he made the count, the census, he didn't fast.
David, when David made the census,
everyone started dying.
When he started dying, there was a fast, he declared a fast? Mm-hmm. It could be right. We have to study. Now, I think I saw this at the Das Seifem. It's an amazing insight. The way he presents it is that Ruba de Ruba, if you look until now in history, until this point in history, when there were problems, you don't find Nevi'im declaring, okay, it's going to be a fast day. A fast day is Yom Kippur. That's when we have a fast day. Or a fast day. If there's a problem, we'll deal with the problem. What's the problem? Here's the difference. The Nevi'im knew what the problem was. There was Avodah Zarah. There was Gili Arayas. There was corruption in Mishpat. The time of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah told everyone to free the slaves. All the Jews, they're keeping slaves more than 6 years. When you know what the problem is, you can deal with the problem head on. If there's Avodah Zarah, you don't need to fast. Just stop worshiping Avodah Zarah. You don't want to stop worshiping Avodah Zarah, so I'll kill you, I'll go and I'll punish you, I'll take away your property. When you have a situation where the problem is not obvious, or there are many problems, and you cannot specify a specific problem. Why are we having this tsar where we now find ourselves at war? Well, there are 10 problems. There are some people that are worshipping Avodah Zarah. There are some people that are nichshol in Gilui Arayos. There are some people that are nichshol in Lashon Hara. And there are some people who have a problem with tznias. Some people have an internet problem. Some people have a kashrus problem. And some people have, they talk during davening. Right, you go through the Flavish Jewish Journal, you go through all the problems. What is the problem? There is no problem. There is no one specific problem. What's an assignment for one person is not an assignment for another person. Then the catch-all solution is a Yom Tzom. That's what the Das Sofim says. There was no specific problem here. It doesn't say here in this story, Yehoshaphat, he gets up and he says, look, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what to do because there wasn't one overwhelming problem. It's not Avodah Zarah. There is no Avodah Zarah. We're pretty good. Okay, you'll find individuals that worship the Bamos to Avodah Zarah. There's always going to be problems. You're never going to get 100%. But it's not a specific problem. Then, how do you deal with the situation? Where you just go open the newspaper and you put it in. It's not going to work. The catch-all to do tshuva, to inspire each individual to improve upon his personal failings, his difficulties, is a Yom Tzom. A fast day, everyone comes together, everyone davens, everyone knows their weakness. Everyone should work on their weakness. That's why this Zman HaZeh, we very much relate to this, because with Zman HaZeh, you can't say it's one problem. We all know for a fact it's not one problem. We all know for a fact it's not one problem. We know that every single person, every individual has their issues. And when, unfortunately, everyone is falling together in their personal struggles, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends messages, you know, you're in trouble. Shape up. How do you shape up? A Yom Tzom, fast. You fast, and when you fast, so then everyone works on their individual problems. That is a very powerful lima that we learn from Yehoshaphat. Because it's what's interesting, there's an absence of a specific problem. Ruba, the Navi comes to Klal Yisrael and says, this, you've done this Avera. You're doing Avodah Zarah, you're doing Gilui Arayos, you're doing this, you're doing that. You're not freeing the slaves in the time of Yirmiyah. Everyone here is in violation of slave labor. Or you're in violation of, you're not observing Shemitah. Specific. You know what the problem is. Doesn't say what the problem is. There's a war. What's the solution? Yom Tzom. Fast, you come to Beis Hamikdash, you daven, and that is the Limud Musar from this parsha. Okay, now there's one other quick issue I want to point out. They came here to the Chotzer HaChadosha. So there's a Chazal said, what's the Chotzer HaChadosha? Shechitshu bo dvarim. They enacted a new takana that never existed. Now, we know there are three parts of the Beis Hamikdash. Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisra. Machane Shechina is the Azorah. That's called Machane Shechina. Someone who is Tameh is not allowed to be in the Azorah, even a person who's a Tfulia. But Tfulia was a person who's Tameh, he goes to Mikvah. And you have to wait until the sun sets to become 100% tar. So a person who is, he has the status of a shein, a person can be an avatoma, he goes to mikvah, he needs to wait until the stars come out. When the stars come out, then he's 100% tar. It's the first mishnah himself. The brachos, me'emasai kurd shema ba'aris, mishon shakan mechlas nachem b'trumasan, the kohanim who were tamei, they went to mikvah during the day, they have to wait until the stars come out. When the stars come out, now they're automatically tar, they can resume eating truma. That's the zman when you can say kriya shema. Now a person who is a tful yom is not allowed to enter machane shechina, to be in the Azara. But according to the letter of the law, they are allowed to be present in the Har Habayis. You can walk into the Har Habayis, the gates of the Har Habayis, like today. Today, the wall around the coastal wall is the wall of the Har Habayis. Technically, a person who's a Tful Yom is allowed to go into, the Har Habayis. Someone who is the walls of the Azara, the walls of the Harabai, so you're technically allowed to go in as someone who's a Tzful Yom. However, they were Masakin, now what about, that's because the Harabai is called Machane Leviyah. Then Yerushalayim, the old city, is called Machane Yisrael. Maker Hadin, a Tzful Yom is allowed to be a Machane Leviyah. They enacted a Takona Derabon on this day. Anyone who is a Tful Yom is not allowed to come into Machane Leviyah. You have to stay out of Machane Leviyah. That's why it's called Chotzer HaChadosha, Shechidshu Bo Dvarim, on this day. I'll read you the words of Gemara Pesachim. It's not a medrash. Gemara Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Beis, Amud Aleph. Vayamod Yehoshafa Bekahal Yehuda B'Yushfan B'Veis Hashem Lufnei HaChotzer HaChadosha. My Chotzer HaChadosha. The Gemara says, Shechidshu Bo Dvar, V'Amru Tful Yom, Shenitma the Toval the Yitar Belaila Lo Yikonis B'Machane Leviyah.
Can
I can send the carbon.
Send
the carbon. You cannot be present when the carbon is being. Even someone who's Tomei, yeah, I don't know the details. I don't know. I don't remember.
A woman, you let us also.
Oh, you led us right. Well, you led us. She's not Tful Yom. She's just Mechusah Kippurim. She's a third Madrega. Another Madrega, even though you're not a Tful Yom, you still can't kachem until you bring the korbanos that are required upon you. But she's not a Tful Yom. She could even come. She could even come, but she can't eat. She's not allowed to eat kachem until she has it offered. Okay, I don't know all the details. Now the question is, now I don't have a good solution to this, but what's the significance? It's a famous Chazal, Gemara Pesachim. They enacted on this day a Tzvul Yom cannot come into the Beis HaMikdash. My inyan zelazeh, this takana for the event, there's a Melchama, Amon, Moav, Amolek, the coming to war against Klal Yisrael, and we don't know Vanachnu, Lo Neda, Manaseh, we don't know what to do, we're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to be Mispalel. Oh! And today is the day, for the first time in Jewish history, a takana, a Tzvul Yom has to distance himself from the Beis HaMikdash. What's going on? So perhaps, I don't know if this is just a thought, a machshava, is Yehoshafat, on one hand, is a very great tzaddik, but it was a very tragic figure. Because we know that Yehoshafat, he was supposed to, reunify the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. He was supposed to bring the Malchus of Yehudim and Yisrael back under his authority. And he was on the way. He almost had it in his hands, and the Navi told him, "You're gonna have a chance. Don't mess it up." But he messed it up. How did he mess it up? That instead of fighting against the nation who did he fight against? Aram, and the nation of Aram, he bribed them. He sent them a bribe not to make trouble. And the Navi wanted him to fight the nation of Aram. He wanted to fight those who rebelled in the Malchus of of Yisrael, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to fight against his brother-in-law. He didn't want to fight against Aram. So instead, he made nice. He sent a bribe. He sent a lot of money to the nation of Aram. And that was a very big mistake. He later realized his mistake. And that was all. And when he realized his mistake, he tried. This goes back to the previous parak in Parak Yitches Yitess. He tried to make a tigun, and one of the things he tried to was making the shayfti, making all of the instituting all these courts was part of the process of trying to cover lost ground. But he came to a point where he realized he missed out on the opportunity, and it's never going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. There's going to be a split in the Malchus of Yehuda and Yisrael ad biaskal Mashiach, until Mashiach comes. Unfortunately, the whole Malchus of Yehuda, of Yisrael, dissolved when Melech Asher brought them into exile, and then the Churban happened, and it never came back together, and we're still waiting for everything to come back together when Mashiach will come. That is really captured in the din of a Tvul Yom, in the concept of a Tvul Yom. What's a Tvul Yom? I went to mikvah. I was metahir myself. I'm tahar. I did everything I can possibly do to purify myself. I was tamei. I was a full-fledged sinner. I touched a dead body. I touched the sheretz. I'm a tamei. But I went to mikvah. I went to mikvah. I brought my korbanos. I sat zaynikim zav zava. You did everything you could possibly do, but yet in Torah, there's such a concept in the Torah, after everything is said and done, you still have to wait. You still have to wait for the right time. You can do what you want to do, but you can't repair all the damage. And you have to wait for Hashem to allow things to work itself out when you will receive the full-fledged degree of Tahara. When Yehoshaphat gathered the entire Klal Yisrael to be Mispalel, there was a recognition that even though we'll do everything we can possibly do, there's going to be a delay. We can't. Our expectations are, we recognize that we can't have unrealistic expectations. We're tahar, we're going to be mispalel, but we recognize we're not going to get instant results. In the early times of the Nevi'im, you got instant results. There was a problem, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you're mispalel, and what happens? 5 minutes later, you're saved. A bolt of lightning comes down, wipes out the enemy. That's it, you're saved. We're coming now to a new tekufa in Jewish history. We're going further away from the beginning of the Malchus, from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're coming to what we are more familiar with. Things don't happen overnight. You do something, you mitar yourself, but you have to realize you're planting seeds. And it takes time for the seeds to take root and develop. That's the statement he's making to Klal Yisrael now. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is coming. We have here an ace tzara. Ammon, Moab, Amalek. They're about to destroy us. We're coming to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to pray. We're going to be mispalta Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabbi Yisai, we're not on the Madrega anymore of David. We're not on the Madrega of Shlomo. We're living in different times. You have to realize there's a chotzer hachadosha. If you're a tful yom, you tummy. You went to mikvah, you matar yourself, you're still going to have to wait until it gets dark in order to come to achieve the full degree of tahara. And to illustrate, to bring out that point, he told the people, you can't come in to Nachan Eleviya. Oh, but I'm tahar, I do what I'm supposed to do, I waited my 70 kim, I was matar myself, I'm tahar. That's right, you're tahar. You planted all the seeds, but don't expect instant results. You got to wait. And therefore, leave. The concept of Tvul Yom brings out this idea, and that's what's changing now in Jewish history, our expectations. Okay, so this is an idea, I think a very important idea, and we'll leave it with that. We'll stop here.